If you ever wondered how Santa can be in a zillion places all at once, now you know.
That's the magic of zombie takeout.
What's up? Welcome to episode 265 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Moving Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, I'm just going to get into what we forgot to talk about last week. Because of my little mishap with the mic mute button. our regularly scheduled update on the MST3K Kickstarter. Someday there'll be a Zombie Takeout Kickstarter.
Ooh. Hopefully we have a Kickstarter. You know what? I've always wanted to do a Kickstarter to get Liam Neeson to do the podcast with us. And how much that would cost to do.
That would be fun. Except we'd be beating him up the whole time because, you know, to quote one of my favorite Trailer Clash episode titles, Liam Neeson got to eat.
Come on. If we're going to pay the man to do the podcast, we're going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
The question would be, which Liam Neeson movie would we do? Would it be one of the Takens? Would it be Roadhouse?
Roadhouse?
Yeah,
wasn't he in Roadhouse?
Wasn't he like the hillbilly cousin or something?
I have to check. That's the movie. I was thinking Clash of the Titans, but...
Oh, I hadn't thought of Clash of the Titans.
Anyway, the MST3 Kickstarter update... they have now passed $4.4 million. That's combined with the Kickstarter total and the money they've raised from add-on perks. They're selling different t-shirts and posters and whatnot as add-on perks. So they've now raised just under $4.3 million from the Kickstarter and $310,000 from the add-ons.
It's just so much money.
So we're getting 9 episodes, definitely. There's 2 days left to go. The next milestone is 5.5, unless a heavy hitter comes in and is real generous at the last minute. I don't see us getting to 5.5.
I thought I heard he was going to do like a telethon type thing.
Yeah, that's going to be on Friday for the very end of it. I would love it to happen, but I just don't see how.
That he's going to have a lot of, a lot of nerd celebs coming in to help him to get his numbers up.
Right.
But man, he has assembled the dream cast, hasn't he?
Just getting to the next bit of news. Again, this is going back a few weeks because we forgot this last time. So a lot of this is old news. But he's announced now the full cast. It's Jonah Ray from The Nerdist as the host, the new Joel.
I know him more from the Meltdown.
Okay.
It's a very good comedy show on Comedy Central.
Okay.
Stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. But what's great about it is it isn't just about the stand-up routines. In fact, a comedian, you don't want to burn your material on a live show. So they just have little snippets of the stuff, but it's like in the back of a comic book store.
Oh, nice.
And I'd say a good half the show is them fucking around backstage. Wow. So it's a really good good show if you ever get to see that.
I will definitely keep an eye out for it. In addition to Jonah Ray, we have Hampton Yunt as the new Crow, Baron Vaughn as the new Tom Servo, and now here are the two big ones. As the new Mad, Kinga Forrester, daughter of Clayton Forrester, which sets up a nice possible cameo or cameos for Trace Bellew and Mary Jo Peel. We have Felicia Day, speaking of geek royalty.
Of course.
And as the new TV son of TV's Frank, we have, and this is the big one.
Of course.
Patton Oswalt.
Who, I mean, I'm really excited to see him in anything, of course.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that they're going to do the one that I've wanted to do from his comedy routine, the deathbed.
Yes.
The bed that eats people.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to do that because he did it in his routine. And I mean, why not? They're raising millions of dollars. Of course they'll be able to do it.
It looks like, judging from what they've said, it takes about a half a million for an episode.
Yeah.
Ballpark. I don't know how it could be that expensive, but it's one set and a movie that probably doesn't cost them much, unless the rights really are expensive. But more news. Today it was announced that they have some, I think it said guest writers, but, you know, I don't know who's a guest who's maybe going to be on for the long haul. But the names they announced were Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, creators of Rick and Morty. Of course, Dan Harmon, also known for creating Community.
Right.
The sitcom Community, not the concept of Community.
The concept of Community?
I don't know. I said he created Community.
Before that, people didn't really come together at all. They said, fuck them.
And also, too, that I'm very excited about, author of The Name of the Wind, Patrick Rothfuss, also kind of a geek celebrity, and author of Ready Player One, Ernie Cline. Now, are you familiar with Ready Player One?
No.
Great book, and it is basically just one 80s reference after another.
Oh, that sounds painful.
Oh, it's actually really well done.
Okay.
It's about a character in the future who goes into this virtual world, and essentially it's a scavenger hunt. And he's going through all of this virtual world with all of these 80s references. It's great. But bringing that kind of pop culture knowledge to MST3K will be amazing.
It's all, I don't know. Is it too much?
Well, like I said, these could be guest writers. I don't think they're on for the long haul, especially Rothfuss and Cline. They're novelists. And I don't know. Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland might have signed on for the long haul. At this point, it's only, you know, maybe 12 episodes tops.
But here's my question. If he had this cast in mind to do all this, what's wrong with the networks for passing on this?
Well, see, on the internet, Felicia Day is huge. Patton Oswalt is huge. To the networks, they're not. I mean, the last thing I saw Patton Oswalt on TV was a small role on Dollhouse. And Felicia Day was known as a guest star on TV.
You know, when Patton she did TV. Oswalt had King of Queens, didn't he?
He wasn't. He might have been in an episode. He wasn't the lead. That was Kevin. Oh no, Hayes.
He wasn't the lead. No, he was kind of like the best friend. Oh, was or he? Well,
still,
like that.
That's not a bankable name to a network.
But they're trying to start these other online networks. I said this last time we talked about this. Nobody is going to subscribe to CBS Online
without
just
a name
to get Star Trek, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, a lot of people are. I've heard quite a few people saying they're going to do it just for Star Trek. Because it's been ages since the last one.
There's a lot of us, though, who are not going to show.
You know, I'm very curious to see the new Star Trek, but I'm not subscribing to CBS to do it.
Right. I am, too. But I'm already paying for Netflix. Yeah. I already pay for satellite radio. You know, I already pay, you know, for everything else. Yeah.
I don't have a TV subscription. I don't have cable, I should say. But I pay about $50 a month in online stuff. I'm not adding CBS to that just for one show, like you.
You start adding Hulu, and you start adding, you know, CBS, and then Yahoo, and it just, you're going to be spending so much of your income on TV, you just can't do it. However, if you say put Star Trek and Misty, you're going to get a lot more people that it's going to tip over. And if you're going for that demographic, why not?
Yeah.
They're not going to get that much numbers just for Star Trek, though.
I don't think the networks understand how important Misty is to a certain demographic.
Well,
that's the whole point of this Kickstarter, though.
True.
Is to show the kind of numbers they can get and the kind of money they can get, and in the hopes of selling it to another, you know, online or cable provider.
But Patton Oswalt is one of those guys. I mean, his Twitter account, makes news. You know, he's had posts on his Twitter account that mainstream media has picked up.
Really? Okay.
Yes. He'll comment on things. His Facebook, he'll do like essays. It's just, he's quite a great guy to follow, actually. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact that they wouldn't see the benefit that he would have to this, I just don't know what to tell you. I don't know what these guys do.
If there is any interest from any networks or online providers, they're going to wait to see how the Kickstarter does and see how the show goes, on its own.
I think what he's raised is pretty impressive already, but I think he's going to get a lot more those last few days.
You think so? That'll be interesting to see. I think it's pretty much, he was just under 4.3 last I checked just before we went live. 2 days, he might.
1.2?
The Kickstarter itself might actually make, I'm going to say about 4.5 if they do well.
What was it? He needed 5.5?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to crack 5 on the Kickstarter. Combined, they might crack 5. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2010, Rare Exports A Christmas Tale. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Pants. If you're going to be running around in the snow, you might want to wear them.
Please.
Yes.
And also brought to you by Santa's Labor Camps. Bringing that Christmas spirit to you or else.
Mm.
And, starters, self-correction. It was not Roadhouse.
Okay.
It was another Patrick Swayze movie at the same time period called Next of Kin.
Ah, okay.
That he was.
Because I've seen Roadhouse.
Yeah. Easy mistake.
It has a line that I'm fond of quoting, and I liked Jeff Healey at the time, but that's about all it's worth. I like the be nice until it's time to not be nice line.
All right. So as for this week's movie, we have, is this a finished product? Anyway.
It's a finished film.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
From Finland.
Yes. All right. So we have these kids who've snuck into this mining operation. if I were a kid, and there was this freaky shit going on, like, next door. And I say next door, I mean Russia, the next country over. I'd be very curious, too, to see what the hell is going on in there. And it turns out it is an excavation. I'm not sure what the cover story was, really, when they first came in.
I don't think they got into that, what the official cover story is. He told the workers that they were digging up a burial mound.
Right. And of course, the plan was to raise Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Santa Claus in this movie is a little closer to Krampus than Santa.
Yes, it turns out Santa Claus is an asshole. And it wasn't just about giving lumps of coal to kids. No. It was about torturing them to death.
Only if they were on the naughty list.
Only if they were on the naughty list. But, they discover what they're up to. This kid, the younger kid of the two, is very much into the old folklore and is very much aware of what the hell is going on throughout the entire movie. And nobody, of course, believes him until it is too late. They do raise the Santa Claus, and there's sort of a rampage going on.
I just thought of another good title, The Santa Claus, but C-L-A-W-S.
I think that's a movie already.
Okay, could be. Probably.
I think so. I could be wrong. He's trying to tell his father what's going on. His father won't believe him. His father, of course, is more worried about them having food any sort of money.
Survival.
Because some asshole came and slaughtered all of the all the reindeer in the area.
They're reindeer herders.
Yes. Sort of almost poachers, if you will.
Yeah.
but it's their livelihood. They think it's just wolves that have, been forced to, rummage from the hill from the mining operation. But of course, the small child sees a human footprint in the snow instead of, you know, the claws. So he knows exactly what's going on. He finds footprints on his roof. Mm-hmm. And still nobody believes him until, of course, what they think is Santa Claus shows up.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we shouldn't really ruin much of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think a lot of the fun in this movie is like, what the fuck is gonna, what?
Yeah. I kind of regretted reading the plot summary, which is rare. I usually don't regret that.
Have to say, out of the 265 episodes we've done, mm-hmm. I'd have to say I was the most blindest walking into this movie. I had no idea what the fuck this was.
Same here, actually.
Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. Wait, what?
All I knew about this was I'd seen it on Netflix. I'd seen that, you know, that it was on Netflix. And Roberto recommended it when we were talking about a trilogy for Christmas. And that's all I knew, really.
So, yes, this what they think is Santa shows up. They almost butcher him because they think he's dead because he stumbled upon one of their traps for you know, for food, trying to get a wolf. And before they butcher him, he makes a move, and the rampage begins, and hilarity ensues. Yeah. You could say at this point.
And the young child you were talking about becomes a complete badass.
Yes,
possibly the best part of the movie.
Yes.
But rolling it back to the beginning, it begins with a bit in English, and it's mostly in Finnish.
Yes.
But there's English throughout, here and there, in the little small amounts, and there's a bit of English in the beginning, and I was kind of hoping that I wouldn't have to read subtitles for most of it, unfortunately.
You know what? The beginning is probably one of the worst parts of the movie, and it's a really stupid thing, but it's the first shot of the film. You really need to be, you know, careful with it. It's the person that is in charge of, you know, the owner of the mining expedition, or the excavation, the boss. It's a close up on him, but he's wearing such ridiculous, you know, almost stage makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a dead close up on, it was not intended, makeup that was never intended for a close-up. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they just went with it. And it wouldn't be a big deal, except it is your opening shot of your film.
Mm-hmm.
And you really should be a bit more careful with it than that. Mm-hmm. But after that, I think, you know, it's beautifully shot after that.
Oh, yeah.
But with the background you have, this, I mean, just the location they're in,
mm-hmm.
you really can't go wrong.
True, it's Finland. And the shot of the burial mound would have had me really curious if I didn't know where it was going.
Oh, yeah.
Because they pull back and he explains we're going to be digging up a burial mound. And they show this enormous, like, mountain-sized burial mound.
Right.
But there was one shot of the father, one scene, I should say, that kind of confused me a bit. Because he's digging this trap, and it's the classic, you know, hole in the ground with the sticks pointing up and the and the branches over it with the snow, and, you know, it's that kind of a trap. But he used an earth mover to dig it. It just seemed kind of oddly technological for that kind of trap. You know, if you have that, if you have the money
to establish something else to catch some food.
Yeah, you could have, you know, used something more modern than that kind of trap if you have access to that kind of machinery, I would think.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder what he had access to that machinery for.
Hmm. Now, in addition to the kid you were talking about, there's another kid, a friend of his, who is in a good chunk of the movie.
Yes.
And a lot of it is the two of them kind of, they're kind of the audience's surrogate. They're the ones who kind of have a sense of what's going on, but don't really know the whole picture.
And well, the older kid doesn't believe him either.
Right, yeah.
But dumb shit.
But they really gave it a bit of a Goonies feel, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's these two kids kind of scheming to try to figure out what's going on. Now, this is probably the best Christmas-themed horror film that I've seen. Then again, you know, Santa Claus Saves the Mar- Oh, that wasn't horror. Silent Night.
Yes, it was.
Well, in a sense, it was, yeah. Silent Night, of course, Deadly Night. It might be the only other one. Krampus, I'm hopeful for.
I think there are a number of Christmas horror films, but well, I think this one has to be.
The only other one actually I can think of that I haven't seen is Jack Frost, but, you know, that's...
What, the Michael Keaton one where he's like the father?
No, the other one, the slasher. Oh, the other one.
They were out like within a year or so of each other. It was really nuts.
I've actually seen parts of the horror one, not the whole thing. I haven't seen any of the Michael Keaton one for obvious reasons. Now, I made a similar mistake with this that you made with Trollhunter, although it didn't affect my opinion nearly as much. I went into this expecting a horror film.
I had no idea what I was getting with this.
I guess because I read the plot summary, it felt like a horror film.
I was getting, like, is this like a, you know, like a Batteries Not Included, you know, movie? What is this?
It's not exactly horror, but it's kind of a thriller in a sense.
Yeah, it's a, really, yeah, because most of the time you're not scared, you're just more confused.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, what, how are these things all connected kind of thing? And then they eventually... I can't think of anything left unturned.
No.
Like everything down to the radiators getting stolen.
That was one of the two bits that cracked me up.
Like what?
Because we've established that Santa was trapped in ice by this point.
Yes.
And you find out that the elves have been stealing radiators, and they stole this one guy's wife's a very expensive hairdryer. That cracked me up. And the scene where they had the bear trap in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Because of the myths about Santa being a monster.
Oh, okay, now I get it. You know, I thought that was set up by the creatures. The kid set that up.
Yeah, or the father.
The fireplace.
Yeah, because the evil Santa thing.
That is really funny.
Now speaking...
It's smart. If you're afraid of Santa Claus, you want him, you stick a bear trap in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Now, I think my first evidence that this was not the horror film that I was expecting is that it's a half hour before there's any kind of attack.
Yeah.
And at that point, you just see a bunch of workmen at the drill site getting, you know, pulled off camera and their helmets getting thrown back.
You kind of know something's coming, though.
Yeah.
Like, you could, you know, even though I knew this wasn't a horror, or, you know, didn't know what it was, I knew there's going to be some other fuckers getting killed.
Yeah. But actually, all of the killing takes place off camera, I think.
Yeah.
Nobody gets killed on camera.
It's a very low budget horror movie.
Uh-huh.
As in, you don't see the heavy.
You actually, you see him in ice in his with his horns sticking out.
I repeat this, you don't see the heavy.
Yeah. It also, the plot summary made it sound like it was like a zombie Santa thing. So that explains our artwork this week. Because he's buried but still alive. I was thinking a zombie thing. But he's actually...
I guess
this
would make him a zombie, wouldn't it?
Well, he kind of technically is, I suppose.
If he never died, though. Well,
was he alive, though? I mean, I guess he was if once the ending happened and the elves went back to normal, were no longer being controlled. I guess that means he was still alive and controlling them. Because we just see him in ice. For all we know, he could have just been dead. He was controlling the elves.
He was alive this entire time.
Yeah. Now, I gotta give credit to, I didn't look up his name, but the kid who plays Pietari.
There's no way you're going to get these names.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'm not even going to try. I can barely pronounce the character's name. Pietari.
Tamila?
I didn't even look it up. But one of the, by far one of the best kid actors I've ever seen. He gives a brilliant performance, pretty much carries the movie.
I think they gave him, you know, just enough to work with. They didn't make him do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, be scared and you know. And then, when he becomes brave, you know, in the last act.
Well, he doesn't just become brave. He literally becomes like action hero badass.
That's true. You know, he becomes Jack Bauer pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. He has the plan. He's barking orders. And there was a great observance of Chekhov's gun. Because early in the film, you see him with a shotgun and the other kid questions him, you know, do you even know what to do with it? And he doesn't fire it throughout the movie until he has to get the adult's attention in that scene.
Right. And yeah, that's why this movie can't be made in the U.S. You can't, they're not going to be allowed kids with guns in an American film.
I was actually thinking about an American version, but I honestly can't think of a kid to put in that role that I've seen who could pull that off. But you're also right, it wouldn't fly with the guns.
Kids walking around with shotguns in an American film. Mm-hmm. Just see the outrage that would have. Hilarious.
No, one of the things I really appreciated about this movie is that it really does, the legend of Santa in the film really does jive with a lot of the classic fairy tales. I recently read, late last year, early this year, was reading the original Grimm fairy tales.
Yeah.
Which was an edition that was put out last year. It's the first edition of all of them before they were sanitized and, you know, cleaned up for mass consumption. They get really fucking dark.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the idea that Santa would literally dismember kids on the naughty list perfectly fits with the original Grimm fairy tales. It's actually kind of mild for that stuff.
I mean, there's cannibalism, there's rape. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy shit.
One of the titles was How Children Play at Slaughtering. So this is, like, right in line with those classic Germanic fairy tales. So I really appreciated that. Though I do have to wonder where a bunch of reindeer herders got a human-sized cage. Because the elf that they thought was Santa, they're trying to sell him back to the mining company because, you know, they think he's Santa and they can get a lot of money for him. And he's in a cage that is, like, perfectly sized for a human. It's about, you know, 6 feet tall, about 4x4.
I don't know.
But reindeer herders, you know. They would maybe have an animal cage, but not one built like that.
He's a bear? I don't know.
Maybe, but it would have to be standing.
Yeah.
Now, of course, as we mentioned, they never really show the heavy. They kind of took too long to even show what they did of him, which was just a cylinder of ice with two horns sticking out. Incidentally, why did they take the horn?
I think they need to use his magic.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, all right.
But, I mean, this movie takes a while to set up in the first act or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really delivers, like, a surprising message about, you know, poverty, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just not expecting it. It felt like it kept throwing things at you that you would not expect to see in a movie like this.
Mm. It's a lot of setup that gets a little tedious at times, admittedly, for one hell of a payoff.
Right. And I think what really gets it through, though, was I thought the father was a pretty good actor.
The entire cast was great. I can't fault any of them.
Oh, the friend was a bit goofy, but I mean,
he was a small role. You're right. I didn't really pay much attention to him.
But yeah, right. He was just, you know, window dressing pretty much. You know, I was kind of thinking of like the John Goodman, you know, from Big Lebowski as like a
he actually kind of looked like him too.
He did. But you know, the father just playing this, you know, he's a single dad. Mm-hmm. They're completely broke. They're, you know, their Christmas breakfast is just some gingerbread that he made.
Yeah. And that dinner scene I loved because it completely reminded me of the dinner scene from Jaws.
Oh, what? The
scene where they were having dinner and it was just the kid and the father together. Really reminded me of the dinner scene in Jaws where he's playing with the kid.
Oh.
Now, we should talk about the elves and their wardrobe. Just as a warning, bunch of elderly men wearing nothing. And the first one not wearing anything, understandable, because they captured him and they took his suit. You even see it, you know, on the railing in one scene.
I don't think he was wearing the suit.
Perhaps.
That was what the friend was wearing.
Oh, you're right.
The friend came dressed like
you're
that.
Right.
And they led you to believe.
Put him in that.
He was gonna kill him and take that and, you know, rampage and dress as Santa. But yeah, instead they go in this completely different direction. Yeah.
They try to sell them to the mining company and...
this weird, you know, exchange.
Yeah. Which really did feel like something out of Lebowski, now that you mentioned, you bring that up.
Yes.
Very common. But we see the other elves later in the movie, and they're also elderly men wearing nothing.
Yeah.
My sponsor about pants, it was originally a reference to the kid who had walked out in the snow in one scene in his underwear. And I was kind of thinking of striking it, because it was just a reference to one quick scene. And then they showed up, and oh yeah, it became really appropriate.
Yeah.
And there's one scene where they're chasing the kid into this pen, and that's probably giving away a bit too much. But just after they get to that scene, like, you know, they're bearing down on him, cut to an ad, because I watched this on Hulu, for an erectile dysfunction drug.
Oh, God.
That it played several times during the movie, but was particularly creepy and amusing after seeing that.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of creepy and twisted and amusing, the ending. After the... Well, there's... probably, again, giving away too much. There's something that's very Michael Bay that happens toward the end of the film.
Oh, they totally do, like, a Raiders of the Lost Ark thing at the end.
Don't want to give away too much, but it's very Michael Bay, very Raiders. And then there's a tag at the very end. Not like after the credits, but, you know, the very end of the movie, that is so creepy. They're basically selling the elves. And they're shipping them, they're basically teaching them to be Santas and shipping them away in crates. It got very sort of cold science fiction feeling at the end.
Oh, definitely. It was just like, the whole time, just like, wait, what?
That ending bought it like a half a brain for me. Just because it kind of just amused and kind of just unnerved me at the same time. All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes.
I am too.
Just a bit of trivia. It's based on a short film called Rare Exports Incorporated. I'll see if I can find it on YouTube and put it in the show notes. Brian Greene's passport number, the elf who they captured, 314159265.
Pie.
And Roger Ebert awarded the film 3.5 stars out of 4, calling it a rather brilliant lump of coal for your stocking. and called it an R-rated Santa Claus origin story crossed with The Thing.
I think
it's very appropriate.
The Thing is very appropriate. It has that, definitely the beginning with the mining crew.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like you were going to get a thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I really had no idea what the fuck was going on, whether it's going to be horror or sci-fi or fantasy or just a kid's movie or what.
Mm-hmm. All right, so on to the sequels and remakes.
On the sequels and remakes, well, we know, I don't think they could do an American version.
No, I don't think they could do an American version unless they take the guns away from the kids and then you don't have that one scene. Yeah,
they take the guns away from the kids and they're going to Culkin it up probably.
Yeah, well, yeah, unfortunately. Even if they do it well, they still have to take the guns away, which doesn't give us that one scene. unless he finds some other way to become a badass.
All I was missing was for him to say, "This is my boomstick."
Yeah. Now, we didn't see a body.
What?
We didn't see evidence of the death.
We didn't see him alive either.
Well, this is true. So there could be a sequel.
Low budget.
I'm just saying they could get away with a sequel. We didn't see a body. I mean, I kind of hope they don't. I would like to see this left standalone.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Unless it's like an international thing where the elves go on a rampage.
Well, that could be fun too. Well, if he's not dead and he can still control them psychically, which is what he was doing, they could just be, you know, now that they've all been shipped out throughout the world, start rampaging.
So it'd be a much bigger budget movie.
Then. Yeah, it would have to be a big budget. Look at Dead Snow and Dead Snow 2, though. That got a big budget increase.
Very true.
So it could be. This kind of reminded me a lot of Dead Snow. I think there were probably supposed to be a lot more jokes than I picked up on, because as we've established, Scandinavian humor just goes kind of right past me.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't really see that many jokes in this either. I mean, there were some, there were like you know, just a little few gags here and there, yeah, but nothing big.
Right. All right, so on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Through most of this, it was a solid 4, really creative idea, well done, but it was just kind of barely recommendable. And then that ending happened. I'm going 4.5.
I'm going 4. You got to see this. It's, I mean, for a kids or a Christmas movie, I mean, if you have relatives over that you really want to make feel uncomfortable, yeah, you got to put this on. Uh-huh. Because it will, yeah, it'll fuck with everybody. Yeah, yeah.
And I will again point out,
Christmas.
And I will again point out, if you're in the U.S., it is on Hulu, so you can do that for free.
Oh, great!
And what have we learned?
I think we just stick with the pants.
And I learned that fairy tales used to be a lot more hardcore than they are now. All right, so until next week when we, until next week and we'll be reviewing Saving Christmas.
You know, I was thinking, what interesting bookends, two interesting Christmas movies to put together. Yeah. This movie, which is really the origin of our Christmas mythology.
Right.
And then this asshole who's trying to
turn it
into something else.
Yeah. That's a very good point. And I was reminded of a movie we should consider for next week on Google Plus tonight. Ernest Saves Christmas. That might be next year.
It could be, yeah.
We'll also be doing, as always, our top 5 best and worst of the year next year, or next week. So, yeah, I haven't mentioned that to you yet, but no. We do that every year.
That's true, we do.
And it's really easy this year. I think the bottom 5 will be particularly easy for you this year, given how the year started.
I don't think I've given many 5s this year.
I found out, surprisingly, I've given 7 of them. But 2 of them were for A Trip to the Moon and Metropolis, and that was largely for their impact. So the other 5 are my, you know, not to spoil anything, but the other 5 are my top 5 easily.
I think you're right what you said. We're much tougher now. I think I've been very tough this year.
Mm-hmm. But your bottom 5 should be easy, considering we started with Resident Evil.
Let's see what happens next week.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, Left Behind and Saving Christmas and The Notebook. I think your bottom 5 is pretty well covered. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoy the show, spread the word, give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all of the listeners we have, but more would be better. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. I think we're covered through like the rest of the winter, if my calculations are correct. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And the recommendations list. From what I'd heard about this, I had a sense it probably would make the rec list, but I'm glad to see it lived up to that.
I had no idea what was going to happen.
You can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-CTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged.
You can have elf junk in your face.
I thought you'd go there. 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there
you are. Titles.
Yeah. I have The Real Bad Santa, Old Saint Krampus, or Elf Herding. Kind of like Elf Herding.
I have Mad X Max, 24, or A Very Jack Bauer Christmas. 24, of course,
yeah,
is
for
the advent calendar. And my personal favorite, though, Elf Junk.
Okay, yeah.